I'm sure you've heard the ancient proverb that actions speak louder than words. Well, there's a lot of action in today's gospel and not many words of the Lord, of Jesus' own words. Now, when it comes to God, that it's a little harder to apply that proverb because for God, there's no separation between his actions and his words. When God speaks, his word has effect. Let there be light, and there's light. His words are actions, and his actions are words. Jesus himself is the word of God, the fullest revelation of the word of God, the word made flesh. So everything he does is a perfect expression of God, whether he's speaking or acting, or even if he seems to be doing nothing at all. Well, as I say, there's not much dialogue in today's gospel, but there is a lot of action. We don't hear any parables from Jesus, no instructions on the kingdom of God. What we do have is a description of a full day and night of action, ministry. This is a continuation of what we heard last Sunday. If you remember, last Sunday, Jesus was in the synagogue in Capernaum, and he spoke with authority, and he acted with authority. He even drove out an unclean spirit. But after that, we learn from today's reading that he just kept going. He went from the synagogue to the house of Simon Peter, and he starts his ministry there with the immediate healing of Simon's mother-in-law, and then the healing of many sick people from Capernaum, and the driving out of many demons. And before long, it says the whole town is gathered at the door of Peter's house. Why? Because that's where the action was. That's where Jesus was. So it makes sense. So those are the actions of Jesus. But what do the actions of Jesus mean? What is he communicating to us in this gospel? One clear message is that he is a healer. And so we are being taught here that we can turn to him when we are sick or when our loved ones are sick. Another clear message is that he's more powerful than evil spirits. He drives them out. So we can rely on him when we are confronted with any forms of evil. However, there's more to Jesus than his ministry of healing and driving out demons. He has come to heal, yes. He has come to liberate, yes. But he has come for more. The people of the town are not ready to hear this yet. In fact, even the disciples seem to be expecting Jesus to continue to do the good things he was doing. Why stop now? Everything is going great. The whole town, he's really attracting people. But Jesus goes off, he leaves the town early in the morning, he goes to a deserted place with no people around to pray. And when they track him down, they tell him, "Everyone is looking for you. Everyone is looking for you." They expect Jesus to stop what he's doing, to stop praying, and come back and do more healing. Of course, that's what they expect. But here's where the surprise comes in. In this passage, he doesn't do what they expect. He doesn't do what they ask. In the only words that he utters in this reading, he announces that he has something else in mind. "Let us go on to the nearby villages that I may preach there also. For this purpose have I come. I haven't come only to heal the people of Capernaum or to drive out the demons from the people of Capernaum. I have more to do." So he leaves. He leaves Capernaum. Just when he's getting, you could say, to the height of his popularity, just when the people are awakening to his mission, He leaves. It's a surprise. Actions speak louder than words. What does this action mean? Well, to the people, they may have misunderstood this action. The people of Capernaum may have taken it as a message of rejection or of limit. He has a limited concern for them. He will only help them for a little while, and then he'll leave. Jesus says he's here for us. He starts doing good for us. He says he wants to heal us. He wants to free us from evil. He wants to save us. He wants to build us up. But then he leaves. When God doesn't do what we expect him to do, we are the ones who have to adjust. I'm highlighting this sense of surprise and disappointment in the people of Capernaum because this is very often what we pass through in our own faith journey. I'm not talking about people who have no faith at all, people who have no experience of God at all. Those people have to be awakened. They have to be awakened to the goodness of God, the presence of God. And sometimes he does it by some clear, even dramatic action in their lives. But I'm talking about people who already have faith, like people who come to Mass on Sunday or people who join us online, people who have faith, who have already experience of God, who already put their trust in God, the people like us. Okay. We can be taken by surprise when God doesn't do what we want him to do. We can be disappointed when he doesn't do, he doesn't act as we expect him to act. We know he's a healer. So we ask him for a healing, and he doesn't heal. At least that's how it seems to us. We know he's a savior, so we ask him to save us from some hardship or poverty or some conflict. He doesn't save us. We're still suffering it. The worldwide pandemic is a great example. We have been asking God to, for almost a whole year now, asking him to save us, to protect us, to heal us, to guide us. And the pandemic is still here. It can feel as if Jesus has moved on somewhere else, as if he's abandoned us. And we can hear the cry of the disciples, because it's our own cry, it's the cry of the whole world. Everyone is looking for you. Everyone is looking for you. Where are you? And it's very important that everyone is looking for him, that we are looking for him. Because if we stop looking, meaning if we demand that he stay where we expect him to be, then we will miss the much greater work that he has come to do. And that he is doing. It's a very big mistake to stop looking for him, to stop seeking him, to stop listening to him. Big mistake. Because it leaves us without a connection to the very source of hope, of life, of joy. It's never the case that God abandons us. But we abandon God. It's never the case that God grows tired of forgiving us. But we grow tired of seeking his mercy. Let's look at the experience of Job in today's first reading. It's quite a striking reading. I hope you got the sense of it. It's an example of somebody who's wondering, where's God? And why is God not doing what he used to do? Or what he should do. Job is at the bottom of a deep pit of sorrow, deep grief. And we can understand why, if you know the story of Job. All his children have died tragically. He has lost everything. He's impoverished. And his own health is broken down. He has a painful skin disease. On every level, everything has gone wrong for Job. Naturally, he asks, where's God? What is he doing? So in this reading, he speaks of months of misery. He can't sleep at night. He feels hopeless. The last line of the reading is, remember that my life is like the wind. I shall not see happiness again. I'll never be happy again. That's how he feels. I can never be happy again. And so what Job shows here are signs of what in modern medical language would be called clinical depression or major depressive disorder. In fact, some people have said that the book of Job gives one of the best descriptions of depression in all of ancient literature. There are lots of descriptions of depression nowadays. Just look on the internet, you can find thousands of descriptions of depression. But in ancient literature, it's not always put so clearly as this passage. Job has no light, he has no hope, he feels he has no life, he has no future, everything is dark for him. He has no reason to live. There's no reason to die. It's not easy to look at this experience, but it's important that we see it. You know, during the pandemic, these sorts of experiences have really increased, and the mental health issues have dramatically increased these days. So we have to know this is, and then maybe anyone here or anyone joining us online might be experiencing something like this. Maybe not as bad as Job, but maybe. And you don't know even why you got up this morning, or whether it's worth continuing through this day, much less looking into the future. Well, why is this dark, hopeless passage in the Bible? Isn't the Bible the Word of God? Isn't it inspired by the Holy Spirit? Isn't it supposed to give us light and hope? How is this passage a Word of God to us? Well, one thing that we can take from this is it tells us that God knows all about depression. God knows that we will at times experience episodes like this. He knows it. He's described it better than we can. We may think he is not with us when we're having a bad time. We may think that he has abandoned us or that he doesn't understand us. This passage reminds us that he is with us and that he does understand us. And he knows all about this stuff, which is a consoling thing to know that God does, in fact, know what we're going through. And if you know the story of Job, after he passes through the deepest pit of depression, he comes up on the other side, discovering that God was with him the whole time. That's not in the reading we heard today, but we should know the whole story. Otherwise, we're stuck with this very hopeless passage. It is not that God has abandoned us. It's better to say he's doing something that we didn't expect. He's doing something that we didn't ask. He's doing something that we don't recognize yet. That's a better way to say it. So we have to keep looking for him. Everyone is looking for you. Good. Keep looking. Keep looking because he wants to be found, but he doesn't want to be found in the box that we have put him in or in the expectations we have for him. He has more than we can hope for or imagine. So keep looking for him. You know what Jesus says, seek and you will find. Seek and you will find. Don't give up on seeking the Lord. Well, a final thought we can take, a word of consolation we can take from today's beautiful psalm. The psalm response was, praise the Lord who heals the brokenhearted. Praise the Lord who heals the brokenhearted. If we're brokenhearted, who is going to heal us? The Lord. People who are brokenhearted say, why am I brokenhearted? Why did God allow this? Maybe we can't explain that. We don't know why. But God knows why, and he's the one who heals. Praise the Lord. God is a healer. Clear from the Gospels. Clear from these readings. God is a healer, God is a savior, God's more powerful than evil. He speaks both in his words and his actions, and both his words and his actions say the same thing, that he heals the brokenhearted. So do not give up seeking the Lord. Praise the Lord. He heals the brokenhearted.